Ahmed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on Patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon.com/FU Network TV, and through PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Drop us a few bucks. Don't be a freeloader. And now, here's your show.
Now, let's listen.
Hey, Ed the Sock here, in my vehicle. Sorry, been away for a little while. Had a bunch of stuff to get out of the way, and quite frankly, needed a break from all this crap. You know, running the FU Network and FU Politics is a lot of freaking work. And there's very few of us doing it. Everybody wearing several hats. In fact, we need as many heads as Cerberus to be able to I think it's the Hydra. You cut off one head, two more grow in its place. Yeah, we need as many hats as a Hydra to manage everything that everybody is doing to make FU Politics. And now as we're building FU Music and FU Geekery, a reality. Because we're taking away the barriers that the media elites and the political elites have put in the way using jargon and other shit to try to keep people disinterested from being involved and informing themselves and sick to death of the whole political process and politicians and issues of public interest, making people apathetic about what's happening to the most vulnerable in our society. We're doing our best to combat that. Anyway, so I'm back, and, you know, because of the fact that of my involvement in support of the revival of Electric Circus with Monica Diol. I mean, Monica Diol, unbelievable. She started the whole thing, Electric Circus. I mean, she was the classiest woman, I think, that it was ever on air at Much Music. And she and I only ever crossed paths maybe once or twice. We certainly don't know each other very well. I think we will after this tour. But my support of the Electric Circus experience, which is reviving, taking that spark of what Electric Circus was, and a video dance show that was fun and frivolous and anarchic, and adapting it with modern media so that it's online and uses social media and uses the fact that we now have phones that can double as cameras and be used through the technological innovation of a company called Stage 10, which is Canadian, to turn this into a whole multimedia, multi-camera broadcast, bigger than anything that was ever done before with the previous television version of Electric Circus. It's exciting. Me and Rick are going to be there doing VJ throws with people who are there. We're going to premiere the new Speaker's Corner live using modern technology, updating it. And the performances by CNC Music Factory and the Real McCoy. Okay, I'll be honest. I heard of the CNC Music Factory, Real McCoy. I knew the song, but I didn't know their name. I was like, who, the Real McCoy? Who's that, DeForest Kelly? Anyway, but that's exciting. But because of my support of that, people have been asking two questions. One, is there a copyright violation, trademark violation here? The answer is, to my understanding, no. Because you may not know this, but the term, the word, or the phrase, the title, Electric Circus, isn't one that Moses came up with on his own. Electric Circus was the name of a dance club in Toronto, and I guess it was the 70s, that was popular for a while, that closed down, and it happened to be housed in 99 Queen Street East, which was the first home of City TV. Long before Much Music came on the seat at 299 Queen West. So he just borrowed that name. That name was never something he created. So it didn't go with his chattel to ownership to the people who bought Much Music or City TV. Calling it the Electric Circus Experience, we're not saying it's Electric Circus. We're saying it's the experience. It's like Beatlemania or those ABBA or Led Zeppelin tribute shows, that kind of crap. Except instead of having none of the original band members, we have the real people who were involved, like Monica Dior. So they asked about that, and the logo has been altered so that it is evocative of the EC logo, but is not the EC logo. And besides which, Bell, who's the owners of what was Much Music now, they long ago abandoned those trademarks. They long ago abandoned enforcing any copyright on the clips that are online. In fact, I've seen an email where they ceded the copyright to the Electric Circus content to a friend of mine who runs a website. So Bell is doing its own thing now. Okay, they've got bigger fish to fry. It's a different world now. There would be no economic benefit to them to do a dance show out of Toronto on television that would reach Canada only. The economics of scale wouldn't make sense for them. But it's still something people loved, so we're bringing it back. It was only ever canceled because of the horrible management that took over Much Music, that was lazy and didn't want to have to think about shows going on Friday nights because they wanted their weekends. These are the people that are the reasons that I quit Much Music. Anyway, that was one of the questions I was asked. The other question I was asked is, didn't Bell kill Much Music? The answer to that is no. Bell Media did not kill Much Music. Much Music fell on its sword on its own, under its own direction, before the company was even being pondered to be sold. Okay? So certainly, before Bell ever became involved with what was Much Music, Electric Circus and Much Music, they were killed by bad management that worked for Chum, the people who owned Much Music, and eventually were bought over by Bell. Bell did not kill Much Music. In fact, not only did Bell not kill Much Music, they were on the shitty end of the stick. Because imagine paying money for a premium automobile, okay? Whatever brand it is. You spend money for a premium automobile. And then when you go to take possession of the premium automobile, you discover that it's got dents, it's got body filler in it that was covered up in the photographs, and not only that, but in the trunk, there is a decaying corpse. That car, that premium vehicle, was Chum Television. That decaying corpse in the trunk, that was Much Music. And Bell paid premium bucks for a channel that was a stinking corpse. So they did the public a service. It was actually sanitary for them to have put that stinking corpse into a coffin and lowered it into the ground. It was a public service. Do I have any enmity towards Bell? No. They didn't kill Much Music. Much Music killed itself because the management at the time had no vision, no idea what made Much Music special to the people who worked there or to the Canadians around the country, who everybody felt like Much Music was theirs. It didn't matter whether you were born here or arrived here as an immigrant and became a new Canadian. Didn't matter what age you were, your ethnicity, religious background, nothing. None of it mattered. We all belonged equally to what Much Music was. It was our national clubhouse hangout. And Electric Circus, our national nightclub that didn't force you to pay a cover. So they killed it. Don't blame Bell for that. And why didn't Bell just rebuild Much Music? Well, because Much Music was a very specific thing. It took a specific set of skills and a specific mindset to recreate Much Music, and the people who took over and ran it after it was sold, before Bell took over, had no vision whatsoever. They were as bad as the people who were in management at Much before the sale, and so they just All they wanted to do was copy MTV with 1/1000th the budget and 1/1000000th the resources, and it showed. It looked like the Little Rascals putting on a show in the barn. It was embarrassing. Anyway, they also ran reruns of Gossip Girl. Oh, exciting! It doesn't exist anymore. It's now just called Much. It runs comedy shows. Some of them are comedy shows you haven't really heard of from the States. Others are lots of reruns of Simpsons and South Park. Anyway, so no, Bell didn't kill Much Music. In fact, I would say very, very early talks. Well, I would call it a talk. Very early talks with Bell about making use of that extremely valuable library that they have of interviews with some of the most popular musicians of the day, some of whom popular musicians for decades who are now dead. There's a lot of value in that, and we're talking about, we'll see if anything comes of it. And I will say that the only person who is running a network, TV network in this country, who knows anything about entertainment is Randy Lennox, because he ran Universal Music Canada for years. He came from the entertainment world. He came from the music world. He understands entertainment media, as opposed to these accountants, basically glorified accountants and MBAs who focus group everything and run other networks and then just go and take American TV shows, slap the word Canada on it, and say, hey, look, we got this great Canadian show, just so they can spend the money that they're forced to spend by the CRTC. They don't give a shit. Whereas Randy, I've known him a long time, and he understands what Much Music was. He understands it because he understands entertainment programming, and he's not just some schmuck out of Schulich Business School, all right? So, no enmity towards Bell. I don't believe they have any enmity towards me. In this business, in the TV business, the way it is now, in Canadian media in general, we really can't afford to be enemies. If someone has a good idea and a way to leverage stuff that already exists to try to bring in some money and recapitalize and reinvigorate a brand, nobody can afford to walk away from that, because everybody's living on scraps. And as much as people think that the, was it $60 million or $600 million that the Liberal government is offering to bail out a number of local news channels and print and so on, as much as people think that that's giant amount of money, they only think that because they don't realize that even if a company took all of that money, if one company took all of that money, that still would be not nearly enough to keep local news and information going for very long. But when you divide that up amongst many amongst many companies, it's frickin' chicken feed. It sounds like a lot of money, because to an individual, hey, give me millions of dollars, that sounds like a lot of money. But the costs involved in operating news operations are so vast that this is just a drop in the bucket. It's the only objection I have to it is that it's just delaying the inevitable, and if the inevitable is it's like alcoholics. They have to hit rock bottom before they start rebuilding their lives, and before the Canadian media industry, the commercial industry, especially television, never mind radio, that's a corpse. The only way that they're going to really start rebuilding is if they hit rock bottom and the shitty management composed of MBAs with their reliance on focus groups and shit like that and market data, until those people are gone or at least minimized or made only a factor in the decision-making process, Canadian TV is going to continue to die, because television is a business. I don't know if you know the history of it. I'm a television historian. I love the history of TV. of radio first, then TV, mass communications in North America. The only way anything ever got popular was because some executive with the power to do so had a gut feeling that this is what people wanted to watch. He didn't have any data, or in some cases she, though in those cases it was very, in those days, very rarely she. They didn't have tons of data to use to cover their ass in case the thing failed. They just had a burning feeling that this is something people want to watch. It's because you can't ask people what they want to watch. They don't know. They're expecting you to provide them with entertainment that they can discover. They're not the creators of entertainment. Don't ask them what they want to watch. That's a stupid question. What are they going to say? Well, I like this current show, so let's make more shows exactly like what we currently like. Because it's not their job to have any fucking vision. All right? They're consumers of media, not creators of media. So until we have people in the news media and people in entertainment media, people in charge who understand that sometimes the only reason that you can give for why you should greenlight a project is, I have a real gut feeling that this is going to work. Until those people with vision are back in the saddle, the Canadian entertainment business and news media business is going to continue to be a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of its former self. And most of these places, their resources are so low, they stopped cutting to the bone. They've now sucked out the marrow, and even that isn't enough. So until the savior of Canadian media will be a flatlining, and companies realizing, hey, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be allowing people who are basically just accountants run a creative enterprise. Because MBAs, people like that, their job, they're taught how to minimize risk. And I'm sorry, but entertainment media is by its very nature necessarily a business where you must have risk, where you must have a stomach for risk, where you must recognize that risk is necessary. There will be failure, like there is with anything else, but there's also great success that comes because it is creating something, an entertainment property, is risky. You're putting something out there in front of the public. Some people have a really good sense of what the public wants to see. May he rest in peace, the late Brandon Tartikoff, the guy who was the architect of rebuilding NBC in the 1980s from being an embarrassment network to being the network to watch and starting a multi-year run of extremely successful shows that people of a certain age still remember fondly. He believed in certain shows, so when they didn't get great ratings the first season, he renewed them anyways, believing that they will catch. In his case, he thought, you know what, over the summer, when there's reruns and people stop watching, you know, there's nothing for them to watch because the shows they regularly watched are in reruns, they'll watch the reruns of the shows they didn't see, discover that they like this show, and it'll have a new life. And he was right, with a number of award-winning, groundbreaking, amazing television programming. I met him once, a great guy. There was lots of people like that who had some vision. The problem with Canadian entertainment and news media now, no vision. They just chase after the magical millennial. You know, like they think that, you know, millennials, they know what millennials want to watch and want to see. Let's just get some millennials in here. And there's some merit to having people of younger generations there to provide the perspective of younger generations. In fact, it's essential. But if you don't have people there who have some institutional memory about why things are done the way they are, what worked and what didn't work, and what to look out for when you launch this product, things to keep in mind, until you blend institutional memory, people with experience, life experience, and work experience in that field, with people who understand their own generation and how they consume media and what they look for, until you have that as a brain trust working together, hand in hand, we're not going to have a media in Canada that's healthy and robust. we're going to continue to have this emaciated skeleton of an industry that still pretends that it can call itself an industry. It's as much an industry as a paperboy is a newspaper publisher. And I was very happy the other day to find out there are still kids who do newspaper routes. Back in the old days, it was always like a kid that would earn some extra money by delivering newspapers. Now people get everything online. Turns out there's some papers and flyers and things like that that kids still get paid to deliver. And I thought, good, not everything good in the world has disappeared. Anyway, so that answers your question. Did Bell kill Much Music? No, Bell did not kill Much Music. I'm not going to tell you the names of the people who killed Much Music, because these names would mean nothing to you. And they would open me up for a lawsuit, and I don't need that. I'm already dealing with possibly suing somebody else, because he's a known piece of shit. Who is a liar and said some things about me which were absolute, complete fabrications, and he knew it, and he's done it to other people before, and he shouldn't be allowed to get away with it. We have we have free speech within limits in this country, but there needs to be consequences for people who tell lies about other people on the internet, using social media, and the very weak rules of social media, and the fact that if you're not someone with a name, the people who run social media, they couldn't give a shit if you get slandered or libeled or anything bad is said about you. They only care if it's somebody who's notable and can give them a bloody nose in the media. But people shouldn't be allowed to just say anything they want and get away with it. There are certain lines that you have to color within that are, you know, a matter of legality. You cannot just lie and accuse people of bad character, bad acts, and committing criminal acts. You can't just do that. So sometimes somebody needs to stand up, somebody with a profile needs to stand up to somebody else with a profile who is known for spreading malicious rumors, knowingly spreading malicious rumors, defamatory comments, but who know that the people that they're saying things about don't have the power to hire a lawyer and take action. So they just revel in their power to just pull the wings off the little people, so to speak. And people, so many people have no recourse. They just have to sit there and let this stuff live on the internet forever, where stuff was said about them that was horrible, not true, defamatory, and which in 10, 15 years, somebody searching the internet, an employer may pull up this comment that was made about them, and that person will lose the job and never even know why they lost the job they applied for. They'll never know that it was because of some tweet, some asshole, some irresponsible asshole put on the internet 10 years earlier. There needs to be some justice for people in this country who are losing work because other people feel they can say whatever the hell they want about them, and these platforms like Twitter and others say, we're not a publisher. We just, you know, if you were to put these comments in a newspaper, there are legal remedies against the newspaper because they are a publisher. They make it possible to disseminate these comments to a wide audience. There is no difference in a YouTube or a Twitter or an Instagram. They are publishers. They make it possible for people's words to be disseminated amongst the masses. They are publishers. They should have the same legal requirements and responsibilities as newspaper publishers, radio broadcasters, and television broadcasters. This whole business, it's like, you know, Uber saying, We're not a company. We're just a service. We're just an app. We're just an app. You know, you're not just an app. You know what's just an app? What the hell? Vegetables versus zombies, whatever the hell that was. The game. That's just an app. It occurs only in your phone. An app which you press, which then initiates actions in the real world, you're not just an app. Okay? I can't stand bullshitters. I don't have a problem against people who are trying to disrupt or change or force industries to modernize. But I hate it when they lie about it. When they lie about their responsibilities so they can avoid having any responsibilities. Meanwhile, these other industries are still laboring under rules and legislation that keep them with their hands tied behind their back while these app companies just stuff shit in their mouth. Okay? I don't like dishonesty. I like fair playing field. So, yeah, once again, I may take up the gauntlet, take up the sword on behalf of people who have been slandered, libeled, is the correct term when it's written, libeled all over the internet, and they couldn't do anything about it, and they don't know who's reading that now or in the future and what cost that will be to them, because people aren't going to say, well, I read this on the internet, so I'm not going to hire you. They're just not even going to contact you. They're not going to return your, they're not even going to return your message. I mean, I got a friend now who's going out for job interviews. You know what new, what his job interviews are these days? Job interviews aren't where you go in and you sit down and you talk to somebody and the person who's doing the hiring gets a feeling of who this human being is, of the potential chemistry between them, of a sense of the whole human, which can only happen in human interactions, the dynamism of human interactions. Instead, what he gets is you have to log on to a website to apply for a job. A screen comes up with a question that stays there for a certain number of seconds. Then it goes away. Then you have a certain number of seconds to answer that question. Okay? It's worse than fucking Jeopardy. Jeopardy gives you more opportunity. Can you imagine that? A job interview now, which you do from your computer at home, just responding to text questions, never even meeting a human being. And you wonder why the world's going in the shitter? Technology can be a wonderful thing, but like everything that human beings touch, we turn it to crap. Instead of using it for its potential, we use it for crap. We abuse it. We use it to dehumanize. We use it for ways that instead of using our powers for good, they're used for evil or irresponsible or reckless ways. You know, the internet could be a great way of sharing actual information and data and so on. Instead, it's mostly a place for sharing bullshit and cat videos. I'm fine with the cat videos. I'm not okay with the bullshit. All right. That's a bit of a digression. Anyway, Zed the Sock, show on the road. There'll be more. There's much more coming on FU Politics, FU Music, including new fromage. And as well, there's the kickoff event for the Electric Circus Experience National Tour. This is going to be going around the country, a national dance party covered by, you know, on the internet. But you don't want to just watch it on the internet. You want to be there. You want to be part of the fun with the new EC Experience dancers and interviewed by VJs, which the rest of the club gets to see and gets shown on online. And don't worry, you don't get ambushed. You get the chance to say yes or no if you want to be interviewed. But you want to be there. It's an experience. It's like the difference between sitting and watching a football game where something really exciting happens and sitting at home and watching it on the television. Sure, you might get some jolt at, hey, that's interesting to watch. Oh, that was cool. But there's nothing like being there and sharing in the energy and the common experience with the crowd. So that's the Electric Circus Experience, the launch party with me and Rick and the original host of Electric Circus, Monica Diol, who has been Greta Garbo-like to the cameras for years now, has sort of lived a different life. Now coming back to relaunch the show that she launched in the first place. It's not the same show. It's a reinvented, reimagined version of the spirit of what Electric Circus was. And it's modernized for the modern day because we deserve to have a little bit of fun. All the news is relentlessly negative. Everything on social media, relentlessly negative. We deserve to have fun. Back in the days when Electric Circus was on television, we were allowed to have fun. We were allowed to There were serious things happening then, too. But we allowed ourselves to have time where we had fun. Because if you don't have a balance of dealing with serious things and fun, you just go bonkers. And quite frankly, that's where the world is now. Bonkers. And it's time to turn back the clock. We need to restore the balance of the force, the balance of the fun. So if you're in the Toronto area, go. The club is called Her Nightclub, which, you know, when you say to it, where is it? It's at Her Nightclub. Whose nightclub? No, Her Nightclub. It's all of a sudden an Abbott and Costello routine. But it's a nice, big, clean, shiny club with a stage for dancers. And there'll be retro music videos played by DJ Kidman and performances by CNC Music Factory. The real people, live, right there, on stage. You can feel the sweat fly off of them and hit you in the crowd. And the real McCoy, it's happening January 25th, which is coming around the corner. Tickets are at 90sNostalgia.ca. 90s is spelled, not spelled, it's just 90. So 90sNostalgia.ca. 90sNostalgia.ca. I'm glad to be involved in this. I'm glad FU Music has a role to play in this. I'm glad that we're striking a blow against corporatism, against relentless negativity, because 2020 is an election year in the U.S. It's gonna be uglier than anything you've ever seen. It's already, 2020 is already horribly ugly, with missile strikes and drone strikes and innocent deaths. So you know what? You don't have to feel guilty every now and again saying, I just want to have some fucking fun. You deserve it, and in fact, you need it to be psychologically balanced. So, 90sNostalgia.ca, show up. I'll be glad to take a picture, like a selfie picture with you, or do a little video with you or for your phone, whatever. Rick, I'm sure, will do that too. Rick can't say no to anything. He never has been able to. It's not even in his vocabulary, the word no. All right, so I'm sure he'll do that too. Monica will be there, and Monica has been great to work with. I look forward to actually seeing her in person. I've apologized to her for comments which were funny 25 years ago between her and I, but which upon retrospection, you know, reflection and retrospection, and the world changing and becoming a little more enlightened, maybe aren't as funny. Like when she was hosting Facts, which was at the time Much Music's little news capsule, and she threw back to me doing VJ Flow. You know, she said, "And now back to Ed the Sock." And I said something like, "Thanks, Monica. And by the way, I have that earring that you left under my pillow the other night." Like that. Ha ha! It's funny. Nowadays, there's far too many thing encumbrances on that for that to be considered funny. And it really wasn't a nice thing to say to her, because she was a woman with a tremendous amount of dignity who always carried herself with dignity. But now you know what that joke was. I think that's the only joke I think I ever said to her. Probably the only time we ever interacted. I think it's probably the only time we ever interacted because of that comment. But anyways, I'm Ed the Sock. This is Show on the Road on FU Politics. You can find us on anywhere that podcasts are, which is kind of pointless for me to tell you, because if you're listening to this, you already found it. And help us out with some shekels, because there's a lot of people giving of their time for free, and some of us giving all of our time for free. Sweat equity, it's called, to build this project for Canadians, where it's authentic and honest and anarchic and fun. We need you to help us out, because FU stands for an attitude, but also stands for us and for you, which is who we're doing this for you. Also for us, because it's the kind of programming we want to listen to or watch as the video stuff starts to roll out. So help us out. Become a subscriber. Become a patron. Starts at $1 a month. Go to patreon.com. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com. Patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. And if you just want to give a one-time boost, one-time donation, you just do that at PayPal through our email address, which is FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Do me a favor. If you've enjoyed this, don't be a fucking freeloader. Because otherwise, shit you don't pay for, it goes away. And you know what you'll be left with? Ben Mulrooney and his giant chiclet teeth. And corporations, the media corporations, giant media corporations that are basically owned and operated by U.S. hedge funds and very conservative-minded individuals who want to change Canada from the country that it is to basically the United States. No, thank you. So strike your blow for freedom of speech and for support of independent media and independent voices who aren't going to be silenced. Patreon.com/FUNetworkTV or through PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. And it sounds like my voice is starting to run out, and maybe your patience too. So I'm Ed the Sock. This is Show on the Road here on FUN, the FU Network's FU Politics division. And by the way, fromage coming up soon. All right, out of here.